Well, it's time for the message. I was thinking about what I was thankful for, many things to be thankful for. But there was a passage in Job chapter 19 that caught my mind and my heart in particular, that I'm thankful for the knowledge of redemption, the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ is alive and that He is my Savior. And if you listen to the word this morning from Job 19, you notice there's a verse that really summarizes the knowledge of Job in verse 25. It says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." What knowledge that this patriarch man Job had, the knowledge of the Lord, knowing that the Lord will not abandon him during his critical times here on the earth, nor abandon him even in the darkest time when he passes from this earth into the celestial heavenly place. The Lord will know, he knew that the Lord would not abandon him and that the Lord lives. And so that was what I was thankful for. And so the Lord really worked in my heart to share this message with you today. I'm sure you have many, many things to be thankful for, and I'm half tempted to ask you what you're thankful for, but maybe another time and another place. But I pray that as you hear the word this morning, that you will be just thankful for this knowledge of the Redeemer. If you possess this knowledge that Job is describing here, you are a blessed man, a blessed woman, a blessed, yes, young person, a blessed child. And that's my prayer for you today, is to know the Redeemer like Job knew the Redeemer. Now this chapter 19, divides logically into four categories. In the first, Job shows increasing irritation over his friends' merciless attacks. He's just disgusted with his friends. If they were friends at this time, it could be debated. But he's just really disgusted with the whole thing about what his friends are saying to him. And then the second part, in his impatience with their baseless claims. You know, Job's had it. He's kind of hit his low point here with his friends. And they've just gotten to the point where they are so annoying to him and so disturbing to him. Then follows Job's feelings of abandonment by God. Now he starts turning his view on God and starts blaming God for some things in terms of what's happened to him. His perception that God's attacked him and what he's done to him is wrong. Then Job blames God for alienating his household, even his wife. He ends this lament, to our amazement, with a victorious expression of faith in the one who will fight for his cause and vindicate him. So he goes through this very depressing litany of things that he's been felt wronged against, and things even that he feels the Lord has wronged him. And then he proclaims this wonderful statement of faith in verse 24. Almost like takes us by surprise, a completely different tone, a completely different focus, a completely different emphasis. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job's knowledge of God in the midst of his great trials comforts and inspires us as God's people in three specific ways. And these are really the three things I want to talk about this morning. Job's knowledge soothes our souls when we are weary. It strengthens our faith in the only Redeemer for sinners. And it secures our future with real hope. Those are the three things I'd like to preach this morning, God willing, as God helps me to preach His Word. First, Job's knowledge soothes our souls when we are weary. To understand why Job made such a stirring confession about his Redeemer in verse 25, it's important to discover what was said about Job in chapter 18 by his friend and counselor, Bildad. Job's responding to something that Bildad said to him in chapter 18. And really, to understand the context, it's good for us to find out what did Job's friend say, what did Bildad say to Job? Well, Bildad is introduced in Job chapter 2:11 as a Shuhite, probably a member of a nomadic tribe dwelling in southeastern Palestine. There are three recorded speeches by Bildad in the book of Job. Chapter 18 is the second of the three speeches. The other two speeches are recorded in chapters 8 and 25. Bildad's concern for Job was to establish in Job's mind the absolute certainty that every wicked man gets paid in full in this life for his wicked deeds. That was the religion or the thought, the theology of Bildad, that every wicked man gets paid in full in this life for his wicked deeds. In other words, God punishes the wicked on the earth. His logic is that since Job is being punished, he must have done something wrong. Such a logical path led Bildad to conclude some very bad things about Job. And some of these things are talked about here in chapter 18, verses 17 through 21. Let me read you the verses. This is Bildad's speech to Job. And we pick up in verse 17 of chapter 18. His, that is, Bildad speaking of Job, his remembrance, Job's remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people. This is significant when we consider more closely the word redeemer in just a moment. That phrase, he shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. This is what Bildad is talking and explaining and describing Job, these words. Not very kind words from a man who really didn't understand what was going on. He thought he did. He thought he had a good idea, but didn't have all the facts, right? He didn't understand. He's coming to some really quick and impulsive decisions based on circumstances. And people do that. You know, people always, sometimes they come to conclusions without having all the facts. You might have run into some people like that. They can cause for a lot of confusion and escalate things, make things worse, especially if you don't have all the facts and come to conclusions that are just not right and wrong. And this is an example of a man who did that. He took some circumstances that he perceived and came to some wrong conclusions based on some circumstances and saying, well, because Job is being severely punished, he must be evil. He must be bad. And he must not know God. And that's what he says in the very last verse, in verse 21. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. And what was the response of Job in chapter 19, verse 25? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know the Lord. He's responding to Bildad. He's saying, you don't know the Lord. And Job says, I do know the Lord. He is my Redeemer. Such affirmation of his faith and trust in the Lord, refuting what Bildad just said in chapter 18. So with the context understood, that verse makes a whole lot more sense to us, isn't it? Because sometimes we can take verses out of context or we can just apply them in a universal way and not understand the immediate context here. And this helps us understand what is being said and why Job was saying what he was saying. Bildad was accusing Job of not knowing the Lord. And Job says, I know the Lord. I know that he liveth. He is my Redeemer. He shall raise me up on the last day. So this is a tremendous refutation against Bildad's accusation that Job didn't know the Lord. And yet he did. That Bildad is speaking about Job and had threatened him with the extinction of his name and memory upon the earth. He says in chapter 18, you're going to be forgotten, Job. No one's even going to remember you. You're just going to just drift away and be forgotten. And no one is going to record this. You're not even going to be known after all this. So the fact is, with such words, could that cause a little discouragement and vexation in the heart of Job? Absolutely. Job was very vexed. He expresses his vexation in chapter 19, verse 2. He says, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Job is responding to Bildad. How long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Undoubtedly, Job finds himself at a very low point in his life. He's hit rock bottom here. He's had it. This is it. It's the straw that broke the camel's back here. Bildad's broken his back. He's just hit it. He's hit the low point. And what can pull him out of the dark vortex that he feels in his own soul at this time? What can bring him out of that despair, out of that vexation, out of that frustration that he so intensely feels in his heart? And it seems like he's getting worse and worse as chapter 19 goes on. And then we come to that beautiful verse in verse 25. Job pulls himself out of this darkness, out of this despair, and proclaims one of the greatest recorded statements of faith in the Bible that we have. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Job looks away from all his troubles and turns to his Redeemer. Now, did his troubles change? Did his circumstances change? Everything was the same. But there was a proclamation. It was an affirmation coming from Job's heart that I know that my Redeemer liveth no matter what happens to me. And if you look at this man's life, he's lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost his health. He's lost his riches. He's lost everything. You could say, well, you don't understand my situation. You can't relate to what I'm going through. Look at Job. Job can relate to anyone who's going through hardship and hostility and hardship and pain and suffering. There, here it is. Job knows. He lost it all. And yet, he has the faith. He has the strength to still look to the Lord and put his faith in the Lord. Because the Lord was his rock. The Lord was his strength, his fortress, his refuge. And when things turn against us, when we feel weary, this world is wearisome to us. Sin weighs us down. And the news that we hear in the political realm, it weighs us down. It's wearisome. Where do we turn? Where do we gaze our eyes upon? Where's our hope? Where's our trust? Where's our faith when we are weary? Is it like Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. We need to hold on to the Lord and put our faith in Him. What faith, what trust, what hope did this man have when all was against him? The Lord wasn't against him. His faith was clinging to the Lord. Now, this word for Redeemer is an interesting word that Job uses. The word for Redeemer is the Hebrew word Joel, G-O-A-L, Goel. Goel was the name given to the next of kin whose duty it was to redeem, ransom, avenge one who had fallen into debt, bondage, or had been killed. A good example of that is what we find in the book of Ruth. Remember Ruth? We see the kinsman redeemer. Who was Ruth's kinsman redeemer? What was his name? His name was Boaz, right? Boaz was the kinsman redeemer who redeemed Ruth by taking her to be his wife. And this is the same word that we read here in Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job believed his Redeemer would never forget him or forsake him. The word lives is interesting too. The word for live in verse 25 means more than merely alive, but it implies the Redeemer would continue his work of vindicating Job's integrity and Job's death into eternity. He basically is saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That I have a counsel or defense with God. It's the Redeemer. He's my representative. He's the one who's going to defend me from all these accusations, against all these charges against me. I can't defend myself. I need someone to defend myself from these accusations. And who is that? It's the Redeemer. Who is that Redeemer that we read about in the Scripture and he's talking about? Scripture's clear. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He's the one who defends us from the accusations against the devil, from our own souls, from our own hearts that would accuse us of not being acceptable before God. Oftentimes when the devil comes and charges us with our sin, he's right, he's absolutely right. But my hope, my trust is not in myself, but in my Redeemer. That's what Job is saying. God will defend me. God will free me. God will make sure that what is being said will be vindicated. I will be vindicated in the last day. And isn't that how we approach Christ today? When we are accused of sin, rightly, we've sinned against God. And there's no way out of it. We've sinned. But we have one who defends us. One who has come to shed his precious blood for our sins. Jesus Christ, who represents us before God. And He's the one who lives. He's the one who comes before the Lord. And such knowledge that we possess today, brethren, soothes our weary souls, doesn't it? I mean, just think if we didn't have Christ as our defense, Christ as our Redeemer, where would we be today? We would have no comfort. We would have no peace. We would have no soothing truth to come and comfort us. We'd have no hope. We'd completely be hopeless. But like Job had a knowledge that far exceeded any knowledge that he could create in his own mind. This was divine. It was given to him that he knew that at the end of the day, when all the world would come to an end, he still had the Redeemer to look to and to hope for and to rely in. And that soothed the soul of Job at that time in his trials. And so too it soothes our souls, brethren, doesn't it? We think of our Redeemer. We think about how much Jesus means to us. And we can say like Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for His redemption. Thank God for His defense. For without Him, I would have no hope. I would have no soothing words. I love the words in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And aren't these soothing words to our souls, the words of Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. That when we go through our trials and our darkness, and our times where we go through difficulties, we're not alone. We've had God's people tread those paths of discouragement and darkness as well. And God raises up those children of God, praise the Lord, to help us through our times of difficulty. I don't know what you're going through today. You may be going through some intense trials, and you may feel somewhat like Job, where you're frustrated and you're just going through difficulties. You've hit maybe rock bottom. What should be our response? What should take away that weariness of soul that soothes the heart and the soul? It's that knowledge that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is my Redeemer, and that He is my defense. He is the one who represents me before God. Just as Job comforted himself in his Redeemer, so too we comfort ourselves in Christ's redemptive work for sinners. Solomon says, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Even so does the gospel come to us as good news from a far country. It comes to us with its precious and most unexpected refreshment, pouring through our parched and weary souls its blessed stream. Oh, that the Lord might apply His word afresh, those words of Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth, to your weary soul, to my weary soul, that it will breathe life and faith in our hearts. The Lord will not let us live satisfied without Himself. We won't be happy as a true child of God unless we have Christ. And unless we have more of Christ, Christ has provided an atonement for all our sins. His justice is satisfied and heaven is prepared for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who in His love and in His pity has redeemed me. And this is what it's all being packed into these words that Job is expressing. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Can you say that along with Job today? Honestly, can you say that I know by God's grace, by God's infinite mercy and love, that I know that Jesus lives for me and He is mine and He knows me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. What a blessed truth to be thankful for during Thanksgiving, isn't it? Job's knowledge of the Redeemer soothes our souls when we are weary. But secondly, Job's knowledge strengthens our faith in the only Redeemer for sinners. I kind of alluded to that a little bit already. But I want to go in a little bit more detail about that. Job's knowledge strengthens our faith in the only Redeemer for sinners. Job uses the language of appropriation. He says, my Redeemer. It personalizes this. It's His. Jesus is mine. He's not the Savior of my parents. Thank God, if my parents know the Lord, praise the Lord. But my parents' salvation can't be osmosis can't be transferred to me in osmosis by touch, having my parents touch me and their salvation and their faith be transmitted to me. No, the only way my salvation is real is if it's mine, if I possess it. And this is what Job is saying. Job is possessing a personal knowledge. So what I have is mine. It's no one else's. Now, praise God, other people possess it. But what he's saying is, this is language of appropriation. Young people, children, you have a blessed opportunity to be raised in a home where godly parents read the Bible and teach you things about the Scripture. And that's a wonderful thing. But until you yourself appropriate, until you take the salvation to your own heart, it won't mean anything to you. You've got to make Jesus your own. You've got to possess Him. You've got to own Him. Just like Job here is owning the Lord by saying, He's my Redeemer. In the Hebrew language, the emphatic position of the pronoun I in verse 25 shows Job had a settled conviction. I, yes, I know, is the Hebrew how it's read. Yes, I know. He had a holy resolution in his heart to know the Redeemer. That's what was driving him. That's what was convicting him. That's what was giving him reason to get out of bed in the morning and to eat and to go through, go to work, go to bed at night. It was the Redeemer. That was his purpose. The Redeemer. Job did not waver in placing his faith in the Redeemer. This is resolution. This is appropriation. And this is a wonderful example of what all of us need to do. A pastor can't transfer this faith to you. A denomination, God's people can't. You have to come to Jesus Himself. And then He will give you that faith to trust in Him. That's that appropriation. And the day that you receive that faith and that you appropriate it for yourself is the day that you know that the Lord is alive and real in your own heart. And then you realize, too, not just in your own heart, but in the hearts of other of God's children. And that's where the joy and the peace comes from. That appropriation that Jesus is mine. And this is what Job is saying. I know that my Redeemer liveth. As a Christian author writes, a cold speculative knowledge of the gospel, such as a lawyer has of a will or deed which he reads with no further design than to understand the tenor and import of the writing, will neither save nor comfort the soul. However, the believer reads it as the will is read by the heir who finds his own name in it and is warranted by it to call the estate in all the particulars specified his own. He appropriates the privileges to himself and says, the promises are mine. The pardon, the peace, the heaven of which I read are all mine. By grace, I receive these from Christ. How shall I know that He is my Redeemer? There's a verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 that is interesting. It says, Hosea writes in 6, verse 3, then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. Then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord. In other words, Christ is the Redeemer of all who put their trust and continue to put their trust in Him, Jesus Christ. It's just not like a decision that you make, and then you can live like the devil and do whatever you like. No, true saving faith in the Lord is, it begins with the knowledge, yes, of trusting in the Lord. But that knowledge, that faith that you have, is continued to be strengthened. It continues to grow as you grow in your faith in the Lord. Like Hosea says in Hosea 6:3, then you shall know if you follow on to know the Lord. You'll know that the Lord has done a real work in your heart if you continue to know the Lord. Not just to make a quick decision and raise your hand and say, I know the Lord, and then no change, no effect. But no, this knowledge that Job had was a life-changing knowledge, a transformation, if you will. It changed every aspect of his life. It was radical. It was a radical change. And this is what's so beautiful about this expression of faith. And this is what strengthens our faith. Because here's a man who went through some terrible things in terms of human suffering and difficulty. And yet it didn't sour him from the Lord. It didn't push him away from the Lord. If anything, it brought him closer to the Lord. And it affirmed the work that God had already done in his heart. And it proved what was really true in Job. And that was he had that saving knowledge of Christ. And nothing could take it away from him. See, we will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ unless we feel our need of him. We cannot unless we know him as he's revealed in the Word of God. If we see that there is no help or hope for us but in Christ and cast ourselves upon his gracious invitation, believing that he's able to save us to the uttermost, then he is our Redeemer. And that's what saving faith is, isn't it? The Lord shows grace to them who come to him in faith. In James chapter 5, verse 11, there's a statement about Job. It says, "You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Job is mentioned here in James as the patience of Job. But I think the thing that really sticks out to me in the life of Job is his patience, certainly, but his faith, which you could say perhaps there's some overlap between patience and faith. But this is the faith here in Job 19, verse 25, that comes out to me. Here's a man who's putting it all on the line, giving it all to the Lord. So take me, Lord, take me. And help me to put my trust in you. The work of Christ accomplished redemption for us. And therefore, Job's knowledge soothes our souls and it strengthens our faith, doesn't it? It's clear from the text. And then finally, let's look at Job's knowledge secures our future with real hope. Secures our future with real hope. In verse 25, the verb stand is a forensic term describing action of the Redeemer on behalf of Job. The Redeemer is Job's defense, as I already said earlier. The Redeemer is Job's representative. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, the prophet speaks of God as the Redeemer or Vindicator. And in Isaiah 48, verse 12, God calls himself the first and the last. As the last one upon the earth, he shall stand and rise. Therefore, the text suggests that Almighty God will be the one who will have the last word in Job's trial. Job believed in God's power to raise the dead and had a desire and hope that God, as his Redeemer, would set a time and raise him. Job's view of the end times, or you could say the resurrection, sounds very similar to that of the Apostle Paul's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. In that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Doesn't that sound very similar to what Job is saying here in Job chapter 19, verse 25, the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3? That I may know him. Same affirmation of faith in the Lord. See, these men, Paul and Job, they had hope in the Lord. And that's what separates us from all other world religions. Now, all other world religions, they have no hope. They can't give their people hope. But that's what separates us from all the rest, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ gives us real hope to put our faith in and to put our trust in. We do have that hope that the world doesn't have. We have that message of hope. And we're to take that message and share that message with a world that has no hope. Because we have it. And when people ask us, well, how do you know? You know, how do you know, really, at the end of the day, how do you know if you're when you die you're going to be in heaven? And the reason is I have hope in what God says is true. I have hope in what God's power will do at the end day. I have hope in what God says he will fulfill and do what he says he will do. And he will carry out all the promises that he promises in his word. And that's the difference. I believe in God, not in my fear, not in my notions, not in my thoughts, but in the Lord and in his word. See, Job here in Job 19 is expecting to see God with his own eyes. Job was convinced that even if he died, he would live again to witness his own vindication by God. Indeed, his own eyes would gaze upon his vindicator. Job's feelings of alienation and the condemnation by his friends produced in him a consequent feeling of his need for the Redeemer. Job would learn that his God was not alienated or unconcerned, but was both his Goel and his friend. David testifies in Psalm 19, verse 14, the hope of Job's words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. And the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20, and Romans 11, verses 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, the Goel, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Job's knowledge of his Redeemer reminds us of the truth we read about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, what Job was saying in Job 19, verse 25, is what Peter's talking about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, a lively hope. See, Job had a lively hope. And every child of God has that lively hope within our hearts. It's alive because Jesus is alive. If Jesus were dead, we would have no hope. But Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's risen. And because Jesus lives, I live. And because Jesus gives us hope, we have hope. A lively hope in the Lord. And this is what Job is communicating to us by his very famous statement, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He had this lively hope that encourages us to also follow in his footsteps, that we might put our faith in the Lord. Oh, may we emulate by the grace of God what Paul commands the church in Thessalonica for having, work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Job's knowledge of his Redeemer soothes our souls when we are weary. It strengthens our faith in the only Redeemer for sinners, and it secures our future with real hope. May the Lord bless his word and use it for his glory, that we might take this word that we've used and improve upon it, that we might apply it in our lives, and that it might be fruitful, and that it might bear forth much glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful statement of faith from Job, his affirmation that he knew that the Lord lives. And no, Lord, we also would say the same thing in our hearts, Lord, that we do believe, Lord, help our unbelief. We do, Lord, struggle sometimes, Lord, in believing your promises. Our circumstances sometimes can get the best of us. We can feel discouraged. We can become frustrated by people. People can get us down. And yet, Lord, at the end of the day, we have to have that faith that Job had in the Lord. And Lord, help us. There's someone here today that perhaps is going through tremendous physical trials or difficulties, circumstances, financial or whatever it is, Lord. We pray that he might be thankful, if he knows the Lord, be thankful for that saving faith that he has in Christ, or she has in Christ, and that will help him in their time of trial. And Lord, just help us to not forget these words of Job. They're simple words, they're very powerful words, but these are words that we need to be reminded of day to day, and to put our trust in the Lord and to live lives looking to him. So Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the attention of God's people. We just pray now you will bless the word to everyone's heart and that it be used for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.